just want to say thank you. Thank you for another morning. Thank you for another opportunity to learn at your feet. We thank you for the sweetness of you that is in the atmosphere. We are grateful for mercy. We are grateful for help that has been brought to us. It is only by your Spirit and only because you desire it that we can gather once again, not desiring unto man but unto you, to hear mysteries, to hear things that will cause our insides to praise you. For everything in us, every breath, every member has to give you praise. For the soul must be taught how to praise you. And so from the depths of our hearts, we command that this soul give you praise. By the revelation of your words, every haughty spirit will come crumbling down. Walls come tumbling down. We just need a word from you. Speak, O God. Speak, O God. Help our hearts. Anoint my lips, O God. Father, there are members in us that still need to hear your word. Father, do not turn back, O God. Speak, O God. Speak that we may be blessed. In Jesus' name. I just humble myself before you. You know my state. Just help me, Lord. Please help me. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Seated.
Sapalia fella caso to Tiafania. Rakosu teina kiro kosto pali faino tonti amari ekasto. Peni entond, many atondas, many atondas, pali o conti e faru asto pilot. Recosta nine tuna keiros zamandi la finon pari e casote. Telukure a calandia finon poste mai tula kiata. Recosate. Malocuste pali. Many thunderings. Many lightnings. Many speakings. Many holinesses. Many thunders. Many thunders to bring you under. Many thunders to bring you under. To bring you under. To bring you under. To bring you under. To bring you under my atmosphere, under my cloud. I am thundering, and I am lightning, and I am speaking, and I am calling you. Come into the heights. Come up, Eva. Come to the heights. Come to where I will speak to you. I have a word for you. I have a word for you today. A word that will heal you. A word that will deliver you. Oh, the feast is set. The table is set before you, even in the very presence of your enemy. Now come. Come and sit and feast. Sit and eat. Leave no crumbs on the table, for I am thundering and I am lightning and I am speaking. This is a speaking to draw you near. This is a speaking to bring you near, to bring you into the heights, to bring you into the heights. I am bringing waters for every thirsty soul. There is bread for every hungry soul today to eat into my flesh and to drink into my blood. This is the time of life, and I am bringing life. I am bringing life in its abundance. For the thief cometh not but to steal, but to kill, and to destroy. But I am come, and I am coming, and I have come that you may have life and have it in abundance, more abundant life. So come, be not afraid of the thunderings, be not afraid of the lightnings, be not afraid, do not quake. These are the words that will build you up. These are the words that will raise you up. These are the words that will make you come over the enemy of your soul. So eat into me, eat into my flesh, eat into my body, eat, for this is the provision for life. This is your provision for life. Without eating, you have no life in you. Without eating me, you have no life in you. So I say eat, 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 eat. Eat it all. It is for you. I have brought it for you today. So eat. Eat. Eat that you may have life, says the Spirit of the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for that which you have started. By mercy, we will continue to flow. And you would indeed take us. You will take us to where we ought to be. Thank you for your peace. Shahados. Yaf. For I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power. Come down into my power. For many are the foes, many are the adversaries, but our victory is in me. Ah, Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Be glorified. Be exalted. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Help me see this door. Just say, Lord, help me. Help me, oh God. Just speak from your heart. Help me, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Good morning, everybody. Okay, so Exodus chapter 20. Right. So something happened after the Lord had told the people not to covet. He says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his manservants, nor his maidservants, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpets, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they did what? Okay. So you see what happened there, right? We'll come back here, but let's read verse 19 and 20, right? The Bible says, and they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, right, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And the Bible says, the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. Right? So there has been a lot of emphasis on the building, right, and the Lord coming to dwell in that building. And so, since this is a charge, I'm not laying any doctrine. I'm just repeating some things in another word, or in other words. So the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpets and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed first, right? And then they did what? So they did what first? And then they stood afar off. So this tells you, okay, maybe it doesn't tell you, it tells me one thing, right? This says a lot about the attitude towards the things of God. Keeping your distance, but not leaving. Does that make sense? So I would remove, I won't leave, I'll stand. Does that make sense? It's just scripture. I'm just highlighting scripture. That's it. Right? So when Moses spoke to them, right, the Bible says, and the people stood afar off. Right? So it wasn't that they wanted to leave. Like, they didn't want to completely come out of that presence. But they also didn't want to fully commit. Right? So that's what was going on here. So it begs the question, why? Right? And immediately, thank God for people like Moses. The scripture tells us in verse 20, right? It says, and Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to what? That's what they didn't want. They didn't want him to what? Prove them. Because you see, this thing of sin, you know, there's been a lot of labor on what sin is. You know, the works of the flesh, the Lord is has helped us realize that sin is more than works of the flesh. Sin really is tied to your pleasures, right? Sin is tied to the things we find pleasurable. And you can't verify the authenticity of your pleasure without it being proven or tested. It has to be tested. It has to be tried. Now, if it has to be tried by the word, it has to be tried by brethren, right? Now, if it comes out standing, then it is real pleasure. But if it isn't, then you have to let go of it, right? Does that make sense? Now, in order for it to be tried, there are certain requirements, and this is just what is in my heart, you know, to share with us just the efficacy of this faith and how, if we stay true to faith, it will frame our world, right? It will frame that building, right? Yes. So the concept of faith, Hebrews 11, we know that substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen, right? Now, the concept of faith, as I said, I'm not saying anything new like that. It's just a different perspective to help us be more committed to what we are hearing, right? So the Bible says they removed and they did what? They stood afar off. Okay. Now, when the Lord wants to speak to a people, he always finds a man, right? And then he speaks through that man, right? Now, when that man speaks, we get our first exposure to faith through men. That's what Romans 10 says, right? Uh-huh. So that's the actual first exposure we get to faith. Right? That's the actual what? Mm-hmm. Now, the reason why what you hear is termed a faith word is because it has been brought about through the ministry of revelation. If you are hearing, but what you are hearing is not revealed, it's not faith. Right? It has to be revealed. Right? If you read Romans chapter 1, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, right? Let's go there. Right? It has to be what? Revealed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, what enables that word, right? The first, if I can term it that way, the first proof of a word being revealed to you is when you hear it through a vessel whose lips have been anointed with the word of faith. So whatever that vessel says as coming from the scriptures should hit your heart in a different way. As long as it's a man of God. Right? So that's your first exposure to the revelation of the word by faith. Does that make sense? Coming primarily, right, through men of God. Uh-huh. So now you hear that, either you've known it before or you haven't, right? And then you, the way, you know, when you hear that word, what happens is, you know, it causes the proof that, you know, faith has entered, hit your heart, is that you have an enlightenment. You just know, or you become enlightened, or you become conscious or aware of something, right? Now, but you see, this thing called awareness, consciousness, right? Sometimes we are not conscious of what has just happened. For instance, in that Exodus chapter 20, right, what happened was that faith hit their hearts and they turned away. It was revealed to them. And what happened? They removed and did what? Stood afar off. Right? They saw. Uh-huh. I'm just trying to bring a consciousness of something to you. There is your person, and there's the word that is coming to hit your person. Focus on the word. That's your warfare at first. Focus on that word. The enemy would come to marry that word to your state when the word comes. But that's in fact, the minute you agree to that, you've given into condemnation. Because the word has just been given. It has to be tried for you to own it. Right? So you've heard the word. It's a faithful word. You see differently. Right. And that's why word of righteousness pertains to your soul. You don't change immediately, except those who are already looking into the perfect law of liberty. So then you hear, you change. But for some of us, we see what? Darkly. So you're happy that you're seeing darkly. Pastor Jeff, these are them. Right? But this is, I feel it's an important concept to understand when we talk about faith. You hear, it is in a way foolishness for you to just go do. You hear it. If you are very honest with yourself, in fact, it takes a lot for you to hear, and really with faith is you hear and then you compare with your state before you now act. That's really how faith should work. But a lot of times we hear, we just add, and we go. And then what happens? You forget, because your person has eaten up that faith. It has chewed it and spat it out. It's just very easy, because what is in you is powerful. That what the works of the devil, right? Some of them have been dealing with your parents, your parents' parents, and some of your parents' parents were also in the faith. And some of them are in word of faith. Some of them could possibly be in word of righteousness, right? And that thing is still there, all right? So just by reason of age, those works of sin are your senior by a couple decades, way more, right? Generations, right? So you hear the word. But then that word has to be proven for you to inherit it. So the word you've heard that has brought an enlightenment has not yet become yours. But it's still a faithful word. Right? Now, so after the word has been heard, right? So the first thing I just want us to be conscious about is when you hear a word like this, patience, wait on it. Don't be quick to act. There's more that the Lord wants to do through that word. Because what he really wants to do is he wants to bring a revelation of his person that you can now take and use to frame and build your person. Right, but those things don't happen just like that. Right now, what we're reading in Exodus chapter 20, what happens after is that the Lord now gave to Moses the pattern, not the building. Right, so there was a level of waiting that needed to happen just to receive the pattern. Right, but even before the pattern, there was another level, which was for them to be able to not remove. Does that make sense? Uh-huh. Which was for them to not what? So when Moses had said to the people, or the Lord had said to Moses to tell the people to prepare themselves, right, in I think chapter 19, right? The Lord had, he specifically said that they should prepare themselves, right? But before that, the Lord had to convince them as to why. He said, you saw how I bore you on eagle's wings, right? And brought you what? Out of Egypt to myself, right? Now, that is the first step that has made you conscious of the faith of God towards you. You did nothing. It just happened. Now take that to our current time. That's the word by the preacher. You did nothing, you just heard. Right? Now what's the next step? You now have to prepare yourself so that you can now start to see or hear the Lord speak through the preacher. Right? Does this make sense? So at this point, they said everything that the Lord said we should do, we'll do, right? Which is a lot of us. A lot of times, there's a lot of excitement, you know, especially around the ministry of revelation, which a lot I find over time is more because these things puff up, right? So that could be where a lot of that excitement is coming from, high-sounding things, right? So, but at that point, when the Lord says, prepare yourself, right? It is what, like, that's really what it means. Prepare yourself. Like, give yourself to what you're hearing. Right? And he tells us why. He tells us why. In that, I think in that 19, right? Verse 9, I believe. Right? He says, and the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. And believe what? So, what the Lord wanted to happen here was, he wanted the people to hear when he speaks with Moses. Still the man of God. Right, but he knew that they had to prepare themselves for this to happen, because he wasn't going to speak to the people directly. He was always going to speak through the man of God. So at a point, you have to go from just hearing what Pastor Jeff is saying to hearing what the Spirit is saying through him. So you know, sometimes you say, it's not me speaking, it's the Lord speaking. And some people be like, say what? How's that possible? This is what they're trying to show us. Right? If this is, you know, it seems so simple, but in a way, it's mind-blowing. It says, and believe thee today, forever. So you being able to hear what the Spirit is saying through a man of God ties your destiny forever. It's like, what? Just like that? But this is what I'm reading. Does that make sense? So there is a diligence, right? And really, when you think about it, you see, I've come to realize that a lot of times when you hear, what you've heard is packed with so much power that you don't necessarily need to go look for your own thing. You just take what you've heard, right, and hear again until you see. You now have to see. Right? Now this is the second sight that, in a sense, it says from faith to faith. Right? Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. So just look at it this way. First, faith of the preacher, second, faith that I need to see to bring me into righteousness. Right? Now, what's this righteousness? Righteousness of God. Now you are seeing God through the preacher and for yourself to be sealed. Right? Now, when you start to see God, you start to see, you can now, at that point, you've just been trained to hear the voice of God. But if you don't do that well, right? And this is why a lot of times, you know, the Bible sometimes, the Lord is speaking about himself, but he will show us in another light. He said there's no temptation, right, that has befallen us, right? Pretty much saying that you will be able to bear that temptation, right? Because, you see, that concept of faith, right, when I think about it just literally, faith is not here to address my now. Faith is to address my tomorrow. So whatever I hear, if I have the capacity for it now, it's not faith. Does that make sense? So when you hear a word of faith, right, that's why you're hoping for it. Right? So, and that's why you can't just appropriate it to yourself. Because today I've heard, but I need to be built up. Right, it's almost like I need to be faithful to go into tomorrow before I can own it. Then when you've owned that for tomorrow, you now need to wait for the one for the next day. That's the sense of faith. Just literally, when I think about faith, right? So here, right, the Lord had, I'm almost done. Does this make sense? As I said, we are not talking, you know, Isaiah 66. We're not going to 25. You know, like last Wednesday, Pastor connected 25, 26, the needy, and the, what was the other one? The poor. And I was just looking, I'm just like, God, God, God. This thing know the end, though. It's a hair. And it was just flowing. He was just flowing. It was almost like a man who had become a fish in water. He was just, you know, and then a wave will come, and the wave has taken you one direction, but the fish is still flowing with the wave, you know. And I was just like, God, God, God. And you cry to God. The Lord gives you small sense. You catch up again, you know. Like, these things are... Well, it's a movie, man. When you come here, it's a movie. It's an actual movie. You hear things that will instruct you for the rest of, at least till the next, till Wednesday. At least, you know, try. Uh-huh. So, now, what happens is, you've heard the word, and this is, what I'm talking to us, is almost like the practicality of these things. You hear the word, right? Then the Lord says, prepare yourself, you know. It's almost like it's veiled. It's like, oh, don't come near your wife and be clean. You sanctify yourself, right? And all those things. And you kind of think, okay, how does that apply to me? It's just saying, prepare yourself. Like, those things you have seen me do, think on them. Think on them. Because in Egypt, when they were in Goshen, not one of them heard the Lord speak. They just saw the acts. Right? So, to them, God could have been anything. Moses could have been a God and they wouldn't know. They just were, okay, Moses said, you know, and that's why, you know, when I read that scripture, when they built that altar, you know, they hadn't seen this thing. They said, Moses is gone. Do you get it? Moses was still their God. Like, this was, they had not been able to, you know, give him the right, I guess, place in the faith, right? So they said Moses had gone, and then they built the molten calves, and we know that story. But in Egypt, right, Moses was the one speaking to the Lord, and they saw the act, right, for until the spirit of death came, and they were eventually allowed to, you know, come out of the wilderness, right? But the Lord knew that there still had to be a preparation. There still had to be what? A preparation for them to be sensitive when he speaks. Right? And, you know, the way I see the scripture There's one man that, you know, in this story of Moses that the Lord used to help, or, you know, to help us see that this thing just has to do with preparation. It's Joshua. And like, if we read this account, we'll see that at each point, Joshua was the one who was where he should have been. Right? And why? Because he had another spirit. Meaning, he did not just, like, when you say another spirit, it just means a spirit that is different from the others. That's, it's another. Does that, so the others had a spirit, but was not different. So that spirit in him, on him, right, found expression because he was able to, you know, I think at 24, the Bible said, Joshua had become the minister of Moses. And I think to myself, wait, when did Moses enter Egypt? Between all the plagues and all those fighting, when did he become a minister? These are the things, these are the key aspects. And so because, right, the Bible says, and Moses rose up and his minister Joshua, right? So he had seen it. And so even when the Lord was wroth with the children of Israel, right, and he had told Moses to come down, right, Joshua heard the noise, but he didn't leave. He could not leave because he had heard. I don't know if you're understanding. He had heard, right? And this is where we get found out. We hear the word, right? But then when we go into our own space, in the place of preparation, giving ourselves, there are many things that come to capture that word. Things that either cause bondage or captivate. Bondage or what? Captivate. Now, the things that cause bondage, right, I'll just talk a little on that and move. The things that cause bondage are also things that you can see as things that are offensive. Right? So you see the children of Israel crying, right? They cried in Egypt, they cried in the wilderness, and they didn't stop crying. So that means that thing of offense was not really, they didn't really deal with it, right? And when you read the parable of the talents, right, I think in 13, that thing of offense, what is the root of it? Is that you have understanding, but it's not complete. So what's the root of your offense? It's because you know a little and it has puffed you up. You don't fully understand. So the root of your offense also towards God, man, the things of God, is because there's a level of understanding, right? But you haven't bore enough roots, right? So if you're getting offended now, just remember that last is lack of understanding. Or not lack of complete understanding. It has to be holistic, right? So in the place of meditating, right, or when you want to give yourself to the word, either through, sometimes it could be your brother or sister around you, it could be your manager at work, or it could be inside your heart. We'll just be anointed with that spirit of offense. And having given yourself to that, it becomes hard to give yourself to preparing yourself for the word. Right? So, and then the other aspect is pleasure. Right, I won't touch on that, but just because, and you know, I'm just trying to be as simplistic as possible. If you can understand, it would help you, right? So one of the things that fights building is offense. One of the things that fights the life finding expression in the building is pleasure. That's the parable. Right? So when you're meant to be bearing fruit, the Bible says the cares of this world. Right? But the building has already been erected. The tree has come, but the fruit, right? So for us, that thing of offense, right, is always going to be there, right? Always going to be there. You're meditating on the word, right? In fact, today, I think I was praying, right? And, you know, something had happened yesterday, and the Lord had just said to me, seek first the kingdom of God. Okay, so I said, okay, thank you, Lord. I'll seek your kingdom. But those thoughts just still kept coming back to me. It was like literally a cloud is over your head. That's the way it is. It's a cloud over your head. And you're just there like, God, what do I do? And then some other people in your head start to suggest reasons why, you know, at the point, I was like, why did Pastor Jeff give me this yoke at this time of the night? You know, I have other things I'm trying to work on, you know. But then another voice just comes. Be careful of accusation. Be careful of offense. So, and I have to, okay, I'm aligning my heart. You know, many different thoughts like that, right? So you having the consciousness that you have to seek the kingdom of God is not enough. You have to see that righteousness. That thing has to be fully formed, that knowledge of God. So whenever you are thinking on something, this is just what I'm trying to say, when you are thinking on something, an offense arises, right? When you're thinking on something regarding the faith, regarding God, and offense arises, is to kill that thing. It might not have a direct correlation, but it is to kill it. And Pastor has taught on this thing. You know, one of the things that he spoke about that really helped me see this was, he said, the devil knew the promised land, so he had planted giants there long years before they even got there. So you might not see the correlation, right? But the Lord sees it. And he knows that to beat this giant, you first have to fight wars. But men who were always offended, wanting to run away, you can't face the giants in the land of pleasure. Think about it. If the actual fight, this is a reprogramming that has to happen in our hearts. If the actual war, your actual, like, this person is my enemy, right? If I can't defeat the enemy I know, how can I defeat the one I don't know? A lot of times, the enemies you don't know are those pleasurable enemies. Right? But offense, in a way, if you just sit down and you think about it, offense is a lot easier to, yourself, why are you vexing? You know, like, it's in a sense, right? So let's just have this with us, right? And asking the Lord to help us. Anytime the word has come and you've had a level of understanding, the reason why your understanding is not complete is because you didn't give yourself to completely understanding it, probably because offense is in your heart somewhere. Right? And these are the things we need to, the Lord, right, would by mercy, help us see these things so that we are faithful, or we are found faithful in this project of building him a house in Jesus' name. Amen. So I just want us to pray. I want us to just ask that the Holy Spirit will bring these things to our remembrance. Just ask that. Holy Spirit, you are the one who has been sent. You are the one who can bring these things to my remembrance. At times when I have gone my way, at times where, you know, I am not sensitive enough, help me. Help me, Lord. Help me to not forget these things. Help me to not give in to this heart of offense. Help me to be faithful in the word that comes. You know, so that once that heart has been framed, then I can start to hear. Mahara no shtivra hara dosta. Previ harara ushtizipia karara dosaha. Raha kasht zo tost zivra ha baba baba harara. Ye prodovotosht ziha kakakaka sahata. Help us, O God. Help us, O God. Ye baharara roshti zivro pokosht zipiana mahanana nanaha. Oh, you would help us. 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 Oh, Jesus. Miha kariere de vashti vrohotoshti zikiriara barabara dodosi. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want us to, you know, even though I didn't, I tried to label them on, you know, offense. This thing is soul. So it's not like, okay, for a whole week, it's just offense, I'll be fighting. No. Offense and pleasure mix, this is how soul works, right? But I'm just talking about what kills the attitude of being able to faithfully grasp, right? Uh-huh. So, because when you see the children of Israel, the Bible says they also arose to, after building, they rejoiced at the works of their hands. So there was pleasure there too, right? It's just that thing, that attitude where the Lord is speaking, the thunderings, the lightnings, right? The reason why we at times struggle to endure that is because the attitude is not right. The heart is not where it should be in the place of preparation, right? Because of offense, right? There's still the aspect of pleasure, as I said. This is just soul. It's soul, right? This was just, especially based on the tongue that came, right? That there are thunderings, there are lightnings, the Lord is speaking, right? It's like, watch your heart, watch the attitude of your heart. There's offense, right? Which will stop you from really giving yourself. That thing of offense is very potent, right? It's not just that, you know, sometimes that thing of offense has found expression and then you want to go give yourself to the word, right? You will prepare, but it's not going to, it's unacceptable, thank you, ma, right? So there has to be, like, you know, when they talk about this thing of, when mommy will speak about a clean slate, learning the attitude of apologizing and things like that, this word, you know, as the Lord helps us, we'll start to see the sweetness of it. We'll start to see the value in it. We'll start to see why it pays to lay aside those offenses, right? And fully give ourselves to it. And the Lord will help us in Jesus' name.